Good morning, Lansing. It's Saturday, and the pet experts are in the building. And it's time for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Now, your hosts, Lee Cohen and Rick Preece.
Welcome, pet keepers, to this week's Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. I'm your host, Lee Cohen, here with my co-host, the pet expert himself, Mr. Rick Preece. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Lee. How are you doing?
Rick, I'm doing really well. And yourself?
Well, I feel healthy. That's fantastic. We can't underestimate the value of good health.
So. I agree. I think health matters a lot. The other thing I think that matters a lot is good routines. And Rick, I've got to tell you, today's show is coming to our listeners partially because of a routine that I find myself doing every single day. And I don't mean to make the program about me, but there's something I enjoy, and I'm assuming that other people will enjoy it as well. I don't know how safe of an assumption that is, but I'm making it anyway. So please put up with it.
Hey, Lee, what do you got going? What's in that head of yours?
Well, Rick, every morning I get up, usually it's before 6 a.m., and I go into my kitchen and I make myself a big old cup of coffee because to get going, I need it. And what I do while my coffee is being made is I go out the front door and I stand on my porch in the dark and I listen and I check out. I admit to you, I'm looking for critters being around because I'm going to let my dog outside and you don't need a skunk showing up where you don't want them to be. You don't need rabbits being where you don't need them to be. But I go out there and I listen and I hear just the most amazing nature sounds. And I ask myself the question, I wonder what that is. And I think that's the coolest thing.
Well, first of all, Lee, I think the average person doesn't get up with their cup of coffee and go out on the front porch and listen to the wildlife. But if you inspire a few and maybe a few more, take their coffee cup out front, maybe I'll take my coffee cup up front. I think it sounds like a great activity. And I think that every time I stop to listen, there is an endless amazement of what kind of a absolute chorus of activity. I've been having fun walking out to my pond, and for the first time this year, I got like 20 frogs. And my pond isn't very big. It's not too much bigger than this. You know, it's like three of these tables.
Right.
Right? But I got maybe 20 frogs that are just jumping and having a good time, and that's always fun to watch. And they're making all kinds of fun noise, so I get to hear that. But at 6 in the morning, it's when my birds are starting to wake up. My wife has about 100 parakeets and finches and such waking up.
Right.
And so that's what I get to hear at 6 in the morning. And it's in the bedroom right next to mine. So,
Just be grateful she doesn't have roosters because that would probably be even worse to have to listen to that early in the morning.
And the funny thing is I don't have any real problem with it. I mean, it's okay. I've gotten used to it, you know, and they're not that noisy. But she's got these new breeder boxes in with the parakeets. And there's this pair of them that have figured out in the morning how they can just kind of jump onto the lid of that and make this loud wooden knocking noise in the morning. And that's the noise that's keeping me up in the morning.
Wow. Well, it's just, I think nature is a gift to all of us. And I just think so few people enjoy it. And I admit to you, in the spring, I enjoy it a lot more because in the wintertime, I don't have quite the bravery of staying outside very long in order to listen.
Yeah, there's nothing like having your winter coat on while you're trying to sit down on a cold piece of surface.
Exactly. So I've been taking advantage of it, but I was trying to think, I wonder who it is that I could talk with about something like this to figure out what I'm listening to.
You knew who.
Well, I did. And I went and I called him. His name is Jim McGrath, and he owns a company called Nature Discovery, which is located in Williamston. And what Jim does is they teach people, he and his wife, to understand nature and really appreciate it. And that means either having you out to their small pond in order to hear things, or they might go on walks with you at a nature center, or they might go with you on something more extravagant. But the point is, they're very, very knowledgeable people, and they can educate you about the sounds of nature.
Yeah, what I love so much about Jim is a person, or in this case, a family, following their passion. And when you look at the roadmap in front of him from the time he started this, I'm sure that he got many people that suggested that setting up a nature discovery personal enterprise, if you will, exposing people, try to be a Johnny Appleseed for nature in the middle of, you know, Williamston, probably didn't come to mind as something that would be successful. But Jim's been a guest of ours for a decade. Mm-hmm. And he has been in business longer than that, and he has been a customer of ours at the store longer than that, and does amazing work. And if you want to do what you really enjoy in life, Jim is a living statement of that. He just really loves his job, and his job is just about making people open their eyes to what we have every day around us that you wouldn't think of. You know, you'd think of somebody that might be living near one of the national forests, or, you know, let's say Sleeping Bear Dunes. I could get that. I could see that be just like an obvious 1 + 1 = 2. Mm-hmm. But in Williamston, Michigan, there's lots of, you know, I guess really all you need is a good woodlot, a nice little pond, if you will, and nature will come.
Right.
And that's what he's done.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I concede I have the advantage of living by a state park and on a lake, so I do get a lot of nature sounds. But to have the knowledge to understand what it is, mm-hmm. as opposed to just hearing that it is,
yeah.
to me, is the goal that I've got set, and I hope others of you out there will appreciate it today as we listen to the sounds of nature in springtime in Michigan and learn what it is that we've got from Jim McGrath this week on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show here on 1320 WILS.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link.
Is it time to get your dog spruced up for spring? Give us a call at 333-WOOF to schedule your dog's day of pampering at Doggy Daycare and Spa. All of our grooming services include customized shampoo and conditioning treatments, individual attention, and we never, ever use cage dryers. Our spa specialists only use patient practices, making your dog's grooming experience a positive one. We offer convenient appointment times at both of our locations in Lansing and Okemos. Call us at 333-WOOF, that's 333-9663, to schedule your dog's visit to the spa today. Doggy Daycare and Spa, where the hip hounds hang out.
If you can't find what your pet needs on planet Earth, have you considered finding a new planet? Of all nearby curios, there is one world where pets reign supreme. A planet where bright blue aquariums stretch as far as the eye can see. Where fresh and saltwater fish of all colors dance before happy customers. A planet where tarantulas and toads dart just out of sight, peeking up from the undergrowth at smiling visitors. A planet where birds from half a world away sing day and night, calling out to curious shoppers. A planet where turtles plod along during daily treks to the watering hole. A planet with pet supplies aplenty, enough to care for any kind of pet in any home, with friendly employees to help you find just what you need. A planet made exclusively for your pets. Welcome to Planet Bruce.
Don't just get a pet, get a Bruce pet.
We're not saying Rick and Lee are secretly animals trapped inside human bodies who keep interviewing pet experts to figure out how to escape, but it's certainly a possibility. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us in the studio a returning guest. It's Jim McGrath, who is the owner of Nature Discovery, located in Williamston. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you, Jim. As Rick and I were talking about in the opening segment, every morning I'm up with my cup of coffee before the sun and I'm listening to the sounds, and I just knew if there was someone who could tell me what the heck I'm hearing, it's going to be you. So let's jump in with both feet this week, because I know you've got lots of different creatures and lots of different sounds. So let's share it with the audience. First thing, let's start with the frogs, because birds, there's a lot of them and there's a lot of different sounds. But how many frogs are there that are native to Michigan, and how many of them would we be hearing about this time of year?
Now that we're getting into May, you may have a chance in the next week or two, provided things warm up nicely. You know, as many locally around here in mid-Michigan, as many as 6 to 7 species. Now, there's only 13 to 14 species in the state, and I say 13 to 14 because there's one up in the western UP now that they're starting to call a Michigan frog that they were only finding like over in Minnesota before, and they're starting to find that in the western UP, so that's 14 in the state. Sure. But locally around here, about the best you're going to do is 8.
And on an average day, if just the person that's not really noticing some of the subtle ones, are more likely 3 or 4 types that are going to be easily distinguished?
Yeah, I would say that's about right. Now, something else to take into consideration is chronology. Not all of these frogs are calling on ponds at any old time.
Yeah.
And you've got your early frogs, spring peepers, Lee, before you were talking about the wood frog. Once it warms up a little bit, there's some species that need a minimum water and air temperature before they get started.
Making noise. They're there, but they're not making noise.
You know, a lot of times they have not emerged yet. They need, you know, another level of warmth before they get active, period.
They're just hibernating, there's a term, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, sometimes just simply I call it winter dormancy. You know, they're down through the cold spell.
Down underneath where you wouldn't even see them.
Season. Right. Right.
Buried.
Most of them are buried underground. You and I, maybe, I think you would agree with me on this. When we're kids, I remember being taught, hey, a frog spends the winter down in the mud at the bottom of the pond.
Yeah.
Well, actually, studying Michigan species, more of the species overwinter
on land than
under the pond.
Interesting.
So there's remarkable variation. What's going on here? It's not as simple as the frog lives in the pond.
Exactly,
you know?
But they're out there, but not to be heard of. And then when it comes a certain, like I noticed, you and I were chatting in our front, our water garden area. We have a bullfrog sitting there. The fact that he's out and out and such, does that mean they're also making noises?
You know, the bullfrog being bigger, and it tends to go small to large generally.
Okay.
Bullfrog being a larger frog takes a while to get going into the spring. Calling, if you're hearing calling on a pond, there's an attempt at egg laying reproduction. But you typically in the wild don't hear bullfrogs getting going till maybe at the earliest mid-May or so, and then they go into the summer.
So unless you spot them out there, you're not going to hear from them. The first thing you're going to do is maybe spot them, and then you might eventually hear them.
Right, for that species.
So right now, the small guys, probably the tree frogs, explain to me if I were out in my front porch, or in the case of Lee, is that your back porch, Lee?
Actually, it's my front porch.
Your front porch?
Yeah.
What would we be listening to? He's right on the water. I got plenty of water around me, including my front yard that now has a bunch of frogs living in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who are we going to hear?
So, just Lee telling me that he's hearing these frogs out there, I'm already envisioning what the quality of the pond is looking like just from you telling me that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we often say a fishing pond is not a good amphibian breeding pond. Most of the species of amphibians have poor to zero reproduction in a pond that's, you know, that has bluegills or larger in it. They eat the frogs, they eat the eggs.
Yeah, sure.
So these are fish-free bodies of water. And, you know, Lee hearing this off of his front porch is telling me, you have a nice shallow, weedy vernal pond, you know, within earshot, which is really cool. So right now, moving into May, we have a couple of species that are just starting up right now that I would like to share. Some of those early frogs we covered other years, wood frog, someone called the chorus frog, are pretty much done with their breeding windows now. You got to wait till next year to hear them.
Oh, my.
But toads are the next ones up. And yesterday, I was at a park in Howell doing an outdoor presentation, and there was down the hill a wetland, and I was telling the participants, hey, my first toads of the year, and a bunch of toads were trilling down there, and I'd like to play that for you.
Please.
So the American toad usually starts up about the middle of April, and we've had such a chilly last couple of weeks. American toads, I'm telling people, are behind schedule. And so as soon as it warms up here enough for them, they're really going to be hitting these ponds hard and calling. And that was going on yesterday and the day before quite a bit. Saturday, it's getting up to 70. They should be calling again.
Right.
And if it turns cold, that's okay for them. It doesn't really, it's not like an apple blossom that
they're not going to shrivel up or anything. However, they stop. The cold weather makes them stop. Unlike migratory birds that are coming in, I mean, once they're here, they're warm-blooded. They don't care what the temperature is.
But these
they're
cold-blooded guys, that, oh, yeah.
They're so
temperature sensitive.
Exactly.
Awesome.
You nailed it. Okay, so here's the American toad call. I recorded this on a golf course that's now gone in Lansing in the middle of the night. Long, drawn-out, monotonous trill that just keeps going on and on and on. You can imitate this if you can roll your tongue on the roof of your mouth.
Not
perfectly.
Me. Not good at that at all.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, not at all.
I wonder if that's a genetic thing.
Yeah.
So what I love about this particular recording, so peaceful, they'll call day or night, but I'm out there at 3 a.m. because of the human traffic noises.
Mm-hmm.
This is in Lansing. Sycamore Golf Course, long gone now. Off of Mount Hope near Aurelius.
Sure.
I don't know what hole this was of the golf course. There's a pond out there, and toads near and far are singing. So when you hear the near one stop singing, you can hear others in the distance. Very peaceful.
Well, usually on the golf course, you're pursuing birdies, not frogs.
And the tadpoles of those, when they hatch, they're relatively small, correct, and black,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And very numerous, lots of eggs.
Right. When they emerge in mass, it can be difficult along the muddy edges of one of these ponds to take a step without flattening a few of them. They're just a carpet of little toadlets coming out. Not much you can do about that.
What I love is I've had ponds where we've had hatchings of those like a rubber-lined pond that have hatched out a whole bunch of these things. And a pond will go from a water garden pond will go from this kind of relatively green mass of algae to completely clean. It seems like within hours, certainly within days, that pond is impeccable. Nothing to be seen.
It's just that volume being consumed.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
Yeah, just by hundreds, if not thousands, of little toad tadpoles.
So when people call up and they're concerned because their pond has all these tadpoles in it, I'm like, rejoice.
Yeah,
they're
like
they are your friends.
The garden pond zebra mussel.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they do a great job.
Wow, that's interesting. That's another plus to toads that I can talk about with Garden Club.
You bet. It's amazing.
Well,
it's
what's impressive to me is how long that toad could hold its note. It reminds me of a great singer who can hold on to a note for a very long time where all of us are gasping for air.
What's the mechanics on that? What are the mechanics for that?
You know, they do have vocal cords that they are pushing that sound across the vocal cords. And naturally, I show pictures to kids in schools of this, of the toad with its vocal sac on its chin blown out. So this is what it looks like when the sound is coming out of it. And that vocal sac is, I don't know the exact mechanics of it, but it's amplification.
Absolutely.
That. And wow, can that carry?
Yeah, so they're able to pull in a whole lot of air and then just slowly release it, kind of like a balloon.
It is like a balloon.
And you're just slowly letting that.
Or Dizzy Gillespie.
You watch some of these frogs call, then stop, and you see when they stop, it looks like their belly blows out, you know, like the bubble is there. And then when they call, the body gets skinny, and all of a sudden their chin gets huge, like a bubble bigger than their head. And it almost looks sometimes like this bubble of air is going from their belly, the inside of their body, out their chin, back in, out, in, out, back and forth. With the peepers, that's really evident. Yeah. Now, since the toads are carrying the tone the whole time, you don't see that as much, except any frog that's calling, in the middle of calling, its body is slim looking because of all of that being forced out in front of it.
Now, is this going to be mainly the male that does
definitely.
This? What does the female do? Just she listens and
she
runs there?
Responds,
But does she have a noise that she
does not.
To? She has no noise.
So you know, this is what biologists in there, you know, who are surveying or censusing populations are doing. This is true with birds for the most part, too. When they're surveying by sound, multiply times two. The males are singing. They're assuming, you know, there might be.
They're assuming there's females there.
Just as many females as males, you know.
They probably have a noise, but it's very low. It's a peep as opposed to.
You know, we often just in a nutshell tell people if you hear a noise come out of a frog, call it a male.
You bet.
Yeah,
you
right.
Bet. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, Jim, there's one other frog that I know is active right now because I've heard it, and it's the tree frog, and we'll listen to that.
I love those.
Right here on 1320 WILS.
Make up your mind. Decide to walk with me.
Sally Babbitt wants to help you plan for your pets.
So it's very important that as a pet owner, we take care of two things. Come up with a succession plan for who's going to take those pets, and also come up with a way to fund that.
Sally Babbitt will work with you to make sure your pets find a loving home in the event of your death or incapacity.
Because we all know, for example, I have a beautiful Great Dane, and she's wonderful. But she also has some special health problems. So I understand that to have someone take her in is fine, but that's also a financial burden on them. And so I would need to think about setting aside maybe some money to take care of that animal. And going further, how far do we go with our pet's care when we're gone?
Plan for your pet's future with Babbitt Legal.
I am on West St. Joe Highway, 6005 West St. Joe. I am just conveniently located a quarter mile from the Big B. 517-507-3306.
Where do you go when you discover an unexpected treasure? Come to Liberty Coins in Frandor.
In March, a woman drove her elderly mother to the bank to deposit less than $100 of rolled coins into her account. When the teller opened the first roll of dimes, the top coin was silver. The daughter instantly knew at least some of the coins were worth more than face value. They left the bank to go to Liberty Coins. We paid her mother $1,500 for coins she had planned to deposit in her bank account.
What treasures do you have that Liberty can help you with? Pick up a free copy of our Cash in Your Treasures brochure in our store or view it online at libertycoinservice.com.
For 50 years, Liberty Coins in Frandor has been the right place to go.
I'm Tom Coulson reminding you to put cash in your pocket today.
We're Liberty Coins.
It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show with Rick Pruse and Lee Cohen on 1320 WILS.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we're talking this morning with Jim McGrath, who is the owner of a company called Nature Discovery, which is located in Williamston. And Jim, before the break, we heard one of the frogs, but we didn't hear the guy who I drink my coffee with every single morning, because I swear, I hear them and I love the sound. And as soon as you played it, I immediately knew that's the one. Can you go ahead and play for us? What does the tree frog sound like?
Right. The eastern gray tree frog also has a trill, but it's different from the toad in this. The toad starts to trill and holds it on and on like that. The eastern gray tree frog is what I call a burst of a trill. This one is easy to do, to imitate by flapping your lips doing it. So in more of a burst that's just a second long or so like this. You know, kind of like that. So I call that a burst. So here is a recording from our CD. This is another recording right from our backyard, Vernal Pond. There's tree frogs going on here. There are also green frogs calling in the background occasionally that just sound like a single banjo string twang. So you can listen to both of these going at once. And this is like, I recorded this like in the middle of May. Tree frogs are highly nocturnal, but when they are just starting to get going in the springtime, waking up, which is now late April, the beginning of May, you'll hear them calling during the day some, but they haven't, in our yard, they haven't hit the ponds yet. They're calling from the trees around our lawn.
Boy, does that ever bring you into the wild, you know? I mean, that is a signature sound that once you hear that, my blood pressure must go down once I hear that, because it's so relaxing and reminiscent of those times we spend outdoors. It really is.
Well, you also know that it's dark outside when you hear that sound, because I gotta tell you, when the sun goes down, boom, you hear it, and when the sun rises, all of a sudden, it will quiet right back down.
That's correct. This is a highly nocturnal frog. And, you know, images like you're talking about, Rick, images that come to my mind are one of them when I hear the tree frogs going. This is, by the way, is not peak when I recorded this compared to how intense it can be. But, you know, these frogs keep going on and on, but it reminds me of a warm, humid, mid-May night when I just hear this sound. Right away, I picture warm, humid, mosquito-y, yes. They peak out right about when the first round of mosquitoes starts maturing in these ponds, and I've been out recording these or just waiting around in the pond spotlighting them and taking photos of them, which, by the way, people can come out and do. But boy, you need your insect repellent or your mosquito netting. I've been out there trying to hold still, take pictures of these frogs in mid-May just being eaten alive, and I have to stay still.
The sacrifice one does in the name of nature, sharing the message.
They go together.
Whoever knew it was a blood sport.
Yeah, exactly. It was a blood sport.
Good point.
My whole bag felt like it was on fire. I'm leaning over, and they're all biting me through my T-shirt.
So what size of a tadpole, and what do they look like when they hatch out?
Yeah, so, you know, when you're talking about the tadpoles, of course, they're going, the frogs are out of there, and these tadpoles are going through their growth and not emerging as little froglets until, you know, into the summer some. But the tree frog tadpole is very distinctive in that it has a wider tail in their, you know, kind of... there's a word for it, but they're they're laterally compressed.
Yeah, taller.
But they're especially wide. They're almost like wider than the body in front of them.
Probably cool.
Laterally compressed, and they're speckly black and red tail.
Ooh.
You know, some of these tadpoles between the different species of frogs can be difficult to tell apart. Not the tree frog.
Interesting.
Now, when it first hatches, it might be, you know, because it's such a tiny thing. But once they grow a little bit, it's like, wow, you see that wide red and black tail. It's a beautiful tadpole. Very distinctive.
Relatively small, I would assume, because the... You know, the tree frog itself isn't that big.
Right. Not huge. I'm thinking about it. Maybe.
Full size.
Boy, 2 inches is probably too big.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a maximum size 1.5 inches.
And toads,
three quarters.
Compare that to the toad size.
Yeah, no, the toads are interesting. Now, this is a completely different frog family. And yes, I call a toad just a type of frog. It's just sitting in this family that looks like this. But compared to the size of the adult toad, those little tadpoles that are more metamorphosing into these little toadlets that are no bigger than a raisin.
Right.
Wow, do they have a lot of growing to do in that subadult state.
Okay.
You know, and you know what? They are eating so many ants and little ground-dwelling invertebrates, just snapping them up.
They need to get on shore to do their job
they
on
do.
Shore.
Yeah,
so
and they disperse
the
through
better.
The woods, you know. And
probably less competition for what's going on in the water. Leave for the water the ones that are more adapt to dealing with water. They need to get on land and just,
you know,
start doing what they do.
Moving to a different resource. I think that's pretty cool, you know, spreading it out.
Yeah.
But you know what? By one of these little toadlets, by, you know, the end of August or September, you can't find a toad anywhere out in the wild that isn't at least an inch long. I mean, they grow rapidly.
Interesting.
So you only see those real tiny ones for a couple of few weeks, you know, I'm going to say early July, roughly, right?
Well, and in my experience with these tree frogs, you'll find them on your window sometimes, just hanging on them. And it's amazing the fluorescent colors of green that I've seen. And I've seen more the grayish ones as well. So very, very neat.
Yeah, that's the most chameleon-y. If there is such a word.
I don't think there's a word exactly like that.
No, but you know,
but
everybody knows what
idea.
I'm talking about.
We get the idea.
That one can change from, to match its background, from brown to gray to green or any kind of mixed up combination of the three. I've seen an individual with gray and brown and green hues all at
once
on it. It's amazing. Now, they don't, you know, like you might see on a cartoon, change colors in a second. You know, this is something that requires a course of hours for them to match
their wearing their military fatigues, that's all.
So my question is, we got to hear that recording. It was fantastic. How many tree frogs do you suspect were present at the time you heard that?
On this particular pond, we have two vernal ponds not too far away from each other. But on this particular pond, and then, you know, this is going to be a really rough guess, this was past peak. When I recorded this, I would say there maybe were 30 or 40 males out there that might have been calling, and they're not all calling at once. You know, one calls a few seconds later, another one on the opposite end calls and whatnot. So they're not all going continuously. But during peak time out there, so, you know, this would be, I'm going to say, warmish night, let's say a week into May or into mid-May, there is no gap whatsoever in your listening. It is tree frogs on top of tree frogs. That is just a continuous cacophony. Yeah. And loud.
So we're
that
probably
is,
going,
it blows you away. It's what a powerful force of nature.
We're probably going from less than 100 to thousands when it's at its peak.
I don't think it. You know what? There might be some really pristine wetlands with a lot of terrific habitat around them, but we don't live in that world anymore.
Just a few
unfortunately,
hundred,
I would say
hundred.
That.
Yeah.
Probably a few hundred between males and females out there. And I'll tell you, we moved onto this property in 1989, and both my wife and I agree, and this is something everybody should know and be concerned about, the frog numbers are nearly on our pond and on our property, mm-hmm. nearly what they were back in the early 90s or through the 90s. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to preserve the habitat, and we think we're doing a darn good job, and the frogs are still declining.
Sure.
There are a couple of species on our ponds that are nearly extinct now. We rarely hear them, and they were abundant calling back in the 90s. This is something that should concern everybody because these are directly or indirectly human factors involved with this. Mm-hmm. And we think what's going on with ours largely is climate change related issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More so than Kittredge.
So,
Kittredge isn't a problem here in Michigan.
Okay, I've never heard of it locally.
Best I have been told, and I could be corrected, share with us if that, but there is something about the conditions here in Michigan and the amphibians of Michigan that it's either the fungus themselves don't tolerate it or the animals themselves are resistant to it. Unfortunately, I don't have the right answer. We certainly know individuals we could get on the radio show that will. Mr. Lawrence would come in here that was now I probably has a doctorate from that was at MSU for so many years.
Right.
And I could reach out to him to kind of understand that more fully, but Kittredge isn't it, but human interaction certainly is.
Well,
you know.
Well, we need to take another quick break, but when we come back, Jim, let's switch over to the birds because, in fairness to them, they make their amount of noise too. And I would love to know what birds I'm hearing. So we'll have
mornings are noisy right now, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So we'll have that conversation with Jim McGrath from Nature Discovery on 1320. WILS.
If you can't find what your pet needs on planet Earth, have you considered finding a new planet? Of all nearby curios, there is one world where pets reign supreme. A planet where bright blue aquariums stretch as far as the eye can see. Where fresh and saltwater fish of all colors dance before happy customers. A planet where tarantulas and toads dart just out of sight, peeking up from the undergrowth at smiling visitors. A planet where birds from half a world away sing day and night, calling out to curious shoppers. A planet where turtles plod along during daily treks to the watering hole. A planet with pet supplies aplenty, enough to care for any kind of pet in any home, with friendly employees to help you find just what you need. A planet made exclusively for your pets. Welcome to Planet Bruce.
Don't just get a pet, get a Bruce pet.
It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Here are your hosts, Rick Pruse, a man possessing unparalleled animal care expertise, and Lee Cohen, who's also here.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we've been talking all about the sounds of spring, and Jim McGrath is taking us through those sounds. And Jim, let's get into the bird category, because there are a lot of bird activity going on that I'm hearing. What are some of the more unusual sounds that might surprise people if they were to hear them? We all know what the robin sounds like, the cardinal, the blue jay, stuff like that. Give us some of the unusual.
Yeah, these are, you know, some of these birds you're mentioning are, you know, are common year, well, you know, certainly not the robin, but certainly the cardinal and the blue jay and the crow. These are common year-round things that people can see and hear regularly around their yards and stuff. But I typically don't cover those super common birds and the noises that they're making as much as the things that are migrating in, especially right now.
Sure.
May is peak time for bird diversity in the state of Michigan, and here we are just getting into this. But, like, I'm not going to cover the mallard call. Everybody knows the mallard. You know, but there are a lot of people who think, and this just comes from preschool, you know, learning from preschool and then not learning anything else afterwards, that the duck says quack. Well, I want to play
there
for you
go.
The recording of the wood duck.
I want
because
to hear the wood duck.
The wood duck comes migrating in, yeah. You know, later in the month of March. And a male and female fly around together, and the female is very vocal. When they're flying over or when they're just, you know, feeding on a pond somewhere, and very unquack-like. There's another word you're not going to find in the dictionary. but everybody knows what I'm talking about, strangely. Okay, listen to this female wood duck. I love this sound and hear them just about every day now when I'm outside. Fairly common duck in rural areas, more common than people realize, uh-huh. But it's shy.
That's what I was thinking.
This duck does not like to be out in the open. It sees you coming. It's out of there, either hiding or getting the heck off of the pond.
It's smaller and gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah, the most ornate of yeah. all of
I
our
I hate to say it, but it sounds like
ducks.
A woman saying, what? What?
on here, they phoneticize it. They say, weak.
Okay.
Weak, weak, weak. Now, this is one of the few ducks that the male sounds substantially different than the female. And you would think, hey, it's a male. It's going to have a deeper voice. No. He actually has a higher voice, and I'm going to play. I think I have a male here. And their call doesn't carry as well. Really shrill, squeaky.
Wow.
That's a duck. This is a duck as much as quack, quack.
Wow.
I don't hear the males as much as the females. It seems like the females must be just more vocal out there in the environment.
Yeah.
Well, another one that I would like to hear, if we can, because I do hear and see them frequently, the big pileated woodpecker. I mean, this guy is huge. When you see them, and they are so cool looking that I just wish everybody would take a look and try and find one, because I swear I see it. And I'm like, is that a dog in the tree or is that
a bird? Nice is anytime when somebody sees one of these, they are absolutely fascinated. And to be able to know what the sound sounds like, to cue you into that and then start the search.
Right.
Hey, let's do it.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So, you know, we did not see on our country lot, we did not see / hear our first pileated woodpecker until 2006. And we've been out there since 89. Pileated woodpeckers, I'm not sure of all of the environmental factors involved, have moved into areas right around here, mid-Michigan, and this is happening really all over the country, where it used to be a bird that was considered, you know, a bird of the wilds. You need, you know, extensive forested areas to have these birds, mm-hmm. And they're making this transition, you know, behavioral transition to filling up these smaller woodlots around. Mm-hmm. And so they're showing up now in mid-Michigan. I'll play that recording for you. It is they make a number of sounds, but maybe the most commonly heard is a series of what I call wicks. So it's kind of like wick, 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 like that. But they might only give one individual might only give, I don't know, 15 to 25 of those wicks and then stop. And I'm going to bring that up because there's another woodpecker that is also a wicker. There's another one. Another one of those. No, there is another meaning for wicker. All right. So here is a pileated wick-wick calls. Now, you slow that down and count the wicks, there might be 15 to 20 of them there. And I bring that up because this other woodpecker that's more common, that's always been around, migrates back into Michigan in the month of March, the northern flicker. If anybody doesn't know about this woodpecker, look it up. So it doesn't even have a woodpecker in its name. Beautifully marked woodpecker. Are you familiar with those, Rick or Lee?
Does it have the black and white checks across them?
You know, it's heavily speckled, beautiful round spots on its breast. Yeah. It has a brown kind of ladder-backed back. It used to be called the yellow-shafted flicker because when that thing flies overhead, the underside of its wings and its tail and the shafts are yellow, and in sunshine, you can see it as one passes over. And it's the second largest woodpecker to the pileated, which is crow size. This is more like, you know, just not that much smaller than a pigeon. Actually, I'm going to say definitely, you know, a bit larger than a blue jay. So I'm going to play the pileated. And what I want you to notice about its wicks is it is more rapid. Now, if that pileated, the wick sounded rapid. The flicker really knocks them out, and they almost always do about 40 or 50 or 60 wicks in a row. It goes on, and I think I like the flicker's call.
It's a gorgeous bird.
Better than
I did a quick
pileated.
Google, and it's gorgeous, and it doesn't have necessarily the quite as classical woodpecker look to it as the pileated, which is probably why people notice that. But what a gorgeous animal.
Yeah, and you know what's especially odd about it is they forage a ton on the ground. You see them sitting on the ground. They go after on a lawn, and they go after ants and ground-dwelling invertebrates. So it's this anteater woodpecker. So let me play that recording here. Really rapid, long wicks.
While we're letting that go out for a little bit, would you mind, I think before we're off the show here, I'd really like them to at least understand how they can get involved in your business, how they can actually, how a child that's out there or a parent that's listening in can really expose nature with your help. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Thanks so much for bringing that up. You know, our mission is to get people to acknowledge natural diversity. And we try to come up with all ways of making that happen. And so you can come to our little private nature center out north of Williamston by appointment. These days, that's the way we're doing it. Small groups, families, you just go online, find us online, and go ahead and email us and set up an appointment. You can do that like tomorrow. There's a lot of other things we have going on as well.
It's nature discovery that you're looking for, Jim. Thank you so much for coming on. And Rick, unfortunately, you've heard all you get to hear for this week, but next week you can have another conversation here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Meantime, will you all please, please take good care of your pets and go outside and listen to what's going on. Have a great week, everybody.
See you later, alligator.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today.